Today, as we celebrate today, Mother's Day, started in 1930 in our country as a national holiday. So I'll take this opportunity to preach and exhort and, well, encourage mothers today. Hopefully encourage mothers today. Hopefully it's not a discouragement. Our text found in 1 Thessalonians 2, 7 through 9. Here we see, "But we were gentle among you, even as the nurse cherished her children, so being affectuously desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. For ye remembered, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holy and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As ye know how to exhort and comfort and charge, even as one of you as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you into his kingdom and glory." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for how good your word is and how pointed your word is to us. God, we just pray that you would bless us and help us. In Jesus' name, amen. Many times you see the Apostle Paul throughout his letters that are inspired by the Holy Spirit defending himself and his motivations for preaching and teaching the Word of God to individuals. There were false prophets of that time and false apostles of that time that were spreading rumors about Paul's intentions for the people, and they would spread in a threefold way. First, they would spread that he was going around trying to gather a following for money purposes. The second was for immorality purposes, and the third was to make a name for himself, to uplift himself among people for pride and control of others. Throughout the epistles that we see being taught and that we read, we see the Apostle Paul making metaphors to the pastorate in many different ways, sometimes as a shepherd, sometimes, as in this passage, as a mother and a father. And when looking at this, he is reminding me as a pastor that there are portions of my ministry that should look like a mother caring for her children. There is also portions of my ministry that should look like a father leading in spiritual matters, right? And as we're looking at this and we're thinking about this, I wanted to apply some of these thoughts to praise mothers in motherhood and how that they are taking the time to nourish us, to help us to grow. Obviously, in Genesis chapter 2, when God looked down and he saw man, he knew that man would not be complete without woman. And therefore, he would not be a perfect image of God without having a help met for him. For his exact purposes and his responsibility of going out and spreading the image of God throughout the world, that takes both male and female to be able to accomplish that. So God created what we would call the family. And that was the first of his organized, shall we say, governments. All right, so you have one government is the church, one government is the family, and the last is civil government. All right, the family being created first for a purpose of what? Well, for the purpose that all the rest are there for, to spread the image of God in this world, to conform people to be like God, to direct in a way that would make the image of God prolific in the world that we live in. If you want a God-fearing family that shows the image of God, it is done well with a godly mother and a godly father. You can't replace a mother within a home. as you cannot replace a father within a home. Here we see a very clear picture of God's care for us through the picture of a mother. And there's three different ways that we can see God's clear picture and how motherhood identifies God's relationship to us in three specific ways. First, because she gives to the needs of her children. Verse number 7 of 1 Thessalonians says, "But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her child." So we see that a mother gives this life energy to the development of the child. She gives her self in pregnancy to develop an identified individual within the womb. Did I make that clear enough? A child is a life within the womb. It's not your body. It's a whole separate body living in you as God has planned it. So there is no right for abortion. And you are not loving people by allowing abortion or standing for abortion, because you are taking out an individual life. Right? It's not the woman's body. It is something that is nurturing a totally different individual in the sight of God from the point of conception. And as we look at that, mothers give themselves to that purpose. Now the selfish mothers, the selfish women of today are afraid to give their bodies to such a deplorable, in their minds, institution, because the educational system has promoted things other than motherhood in our day and age. Motherhood is somewhere on the bottom of the totem pole. I'll never forget hearing what I thought was a conservative Republican talking about how we are being so harsh to mothers by making them stay home during during 2020, and how we need to open it up so mothers didn't have to be chained, and she didn't use these words, but almost these words, chained to their children. What a terrible thought that a mother is chained to her children. We are developing people that have no concept of the love that God has put into motherhood and the desire that mothers should have to their own children. People are losing their natural affections towards the things that God should make them affection for. Even Christian people struggle with this. I'm not going to have children because that'll ruin my body image. Mothers do change after having children. That's a fact. But to a mature Christian man who is married to a lady whose body changes after having children, she becomes more and more beautiful. Because you see the loving tenderness that your wife can give to that little infant child. And as we study this and as we think about this, there should be a natural desire within women to be gentle with their infants. It's funny, when my children need somebody in the night to comfort them, as a whole, okay, everybody's different, I understand that, so don't feel bad if it's different in your home. But in our home, I have tried to comfort my children in the middle of the night. Well, it really didn't work when they were infants, because obviously they wanted mom for other purposes in the night that I wasn't able to give to them. But as they grow older, the care and the tenderness that a mother can give to her children in the middle of that, children need that. Children need that comfort. Children need that cherishing. Children need you as a mother to be gentle. My children are getting old enough to where now I get to do ponytails because I can do them tighter than mom, you know, to one of them in particular. But, you know, I remember when they were little trying to do that, and they'd complain about, "You're too rough, Daddy. You're too rough." And moms have that special ability to be meek, to be gentle, to show love and care to their children. You need praise for that as mothers. We need to uplift as a church body motherhood and the special, unique place that if God gives you children, not everybody has children, and you're just as important to the church of God as people that can have children. Okay, so I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad that wasn't able to have children. You're just as important. But if God gives you a child, mom, the best thing you can be for that child is a gentle mother that loves her children and prepares her children to serve a risen Savior. Very important that you understand that. So let's go to 1 Thessalonians 2, 7 through 9 and look at a few points here. Here in verse number 7, we read of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, this phrase. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. Oh my, this old English. I can hardly read the new English, let alone the old. So you see her. Can we just say cherishing? Does that work? Yeah, there's too many to it. So, cherishing her children. Even as a nurse cherishing her children. Cherishing means to make warm, heat, or to nourish. Nursing is the extremely giving. The mother is literally giving the life produced in her body to sustain the life of her child. Right? So, moms are obviously physiologically, psychologically, for the most part, on the whole, built to give life to that infant baby by feeding them. And to have this special bond between a mother and a child that is developed, a place of warmth, a place of security, a place of dependence. You know, even when you're grown as a man, you will call your mom to see how she's doing in most cases, to ask her how she's doing. And if you have a problem that you're going through, you're not really looking for her advice. You're just wanting to unload on her because you know that she'll always support you. Now, when you call your dad, it's a different story. As a man, when I call my dad, I wasn't looking for his comfort. I was looking for direction, even as a grown man. Dad, I'm in this situation. Do you ever remember being in this situation? What did you do in this situation? And I'm not looking for him to coddle me. I'm looking for him to say, son, you can do this. I gave you these tools to accomplish this. I still miss that, by the way. My dad's been gone since 2010. I still miss being able to call my father up and say, Dad, what am I supposed to do here? Right? So, obviously we play two different roles in the life of our children, but they work perfectly together. And on Father's Day, we'll finish the rest of this passage to preach at the men. But, ladies, don't feel bad about caring for your children. Don't feel bad that you have to pick them up when they're crying in the night and coddle them and warm them and give them emotional assurance that everything's okay. There's been this false teen. Now, you can baby them to a point, I understand, but when they're infants and they're newborns, it's part of your job to love them, to care for them, to show them love. That's how God created you, and you don't need to feel bad for that. You don't need to feel bad as a mother wanting to stay home with your child while everybody else is throwing them into daycares so they can advance their career. A daycare can never love your children like you can. A teacher can never love your children like you can love your children as a mom. They can care for your children, but they can't cherish your children. Only a mom can cherish her own children. And we see that all throughout everyday life with the godly women here at Bethel Baptist Church and how they care for their children. So, the mom, again, giving herself to sustain her children. There are probably very few things in life more gentle than a mother feeding her infant child. The care that goes into that. Have to hold the head up because the baby can't even hold its neck up, right? The care and the love and the tenderness is very beautiful picture of God's care, tenderness, and love for us. Don't worry, man, on Father's Day I won't be so mushy, okay? But we're talking to the mothers today. That's a huge benefit. And it pictures, in a sense, God's love for us. God's care for us. A mother's care in nursing pictures God's care for his children in feeding and sustaining them in life. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 11. In the day and hour that we live in the hard times that we're going through, we can trust God to care for us as a mother cares for its infant child. As an infant, infants, we can see, are totally dependent on their children. So Christians are totally dependent on God. Isaiah 40 and verse 11 says this. Let's start in verse number 10. Behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule from him, for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his works before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. So, in the life of a child, a baby, a toddler, when their life seems to be out of control, when their life seems to be full of fear, a loving mother will comfort that child so that they feel in that moment everything's going to be all right because I'm in my mother's arms. In the same way, as we go through the hardships of life, as we go through the things that life brings onto us and the wicked people that try to destroy us, we can be assured that we have a loving Heavenly Father that will feed us, that will nurture us, and that will lead us. Even if it's leading us through the valley of the shadow of death, we won't fear evil because God's with us in the middle of that. As a young child, do you remember when you were sick? Even in my home, and my mom was kind of boyatized because she had three boys, so she had to be rough. But I do remember when we were sick, there was just something, and my wife, you can thank my mom for this, there was just something about having your mom at your side to bring you food, to put a wet cloth on your head, and then you try not to act like a baby when you're grown man, so your wife doesn't have to experience that, but you groan like you're about to give your last breath and all that kind of craziness. But why? Why? Well, you feel loved in that moment. And a mother particularly knows how to love their children in the middle of that. And you know what that's representing? That's representing the love of God to a child by the example of their mother. So don't ever feel like you're not accomplishing anything when you have to do those type of what we look at as exasperating tasks as a mother. You're actually, when doing it right, exemplifying God's love and care to your children through you. Let's look at Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel 34, 14 through 16. Again, God speaking to Israel, he says, I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountain of Israel shall their fold be there. Shall they lie in a good fold, and in the fat pasture shall I feed upon the mountain of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. but I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. So, God's children, the children of God that have humbled themselves to Him, that are part of His family, how does He treat them? Look, moms, we can't replace that example to our children. You fulfill that example to the children, not the Sunday school teachers, not the godly women in the church, not the daycare, not the educational system. There needs to be times where a mom is feeding and comforting and protecting her children. Motherhood is the closest thing for you as women to present God to your children. That is God's gift to you to show your children God's love for them as they see your love to them. I'm making a big deal about motherhood because this culture sickens me when they define motherhood and train our children to think that motherhood is getting in the way of their dreams and their successes. The most successful woman in this world, if God has given you children, is to develop and love your children. That's your job as a mother. That's your primary job as a mother. And nothing can get in front of that primary job. That's what God has called you to do. You can show your love to everybody else. And if you don't show your love to your children, you failed in what God's plan is for you as a mother. And I want to thank the women of Bethel Baptist Church that have given their lives to showing the love of God to their children and the development and the nurturing and bringing them up in the admonition of the Lord. The second thing we see that mothers provide is weakness for their children's strength. Mothers provide weakness for their children's strength. They put themselves in situations that they don't feel like they are giving their full potential to. They're having to come down on the child's level. How many of you have ever tried to talk to a two-year-old? You don't talk to a two-year-old the same way that you talk to an adult. All right? Usually with me, it's, can you repeat that? Can you? What did you say? What did you say? Oh. So there's a new one that Vivian's been trying on her mom. It's, Mom, say yes. Can I please go outside? So, say yes. Can I please go outside? That's Vivian now. Say yes, Daddy. You want me to do this, right? But it's just cute how they develop themselves as 2 years old. They're already learning how to manipulate their father. So, a lot of times a husband needs his wife, especially if you grew up with all brothers and had no sisters, to know just when their children are playing them. And like, let me ask Mom first. I don't know if you're supposed to be eating sugar right before bed, huh? So, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 22. Here Paul says to the Corinthian church, to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now, he didn't compromise his convictions. He didn't compromise what he thought was right. What he's saying is, if you were at this spiritual level, I preached and taught at this spiritual level so that you could grow. I used what was given around me to lead you to Christ. All right? Mothers, God has given you a special ability to know how to communicate with your children. And you're going to sometimes, I don't know, I'm not a woman, but I perceive sometimes they must feel foolish talking to their children. Like they must feel like, really, is this all life? Now sit down on the potty. Now, how many times you have to go to the bathroom? Mothers know all about that, right? So as you're working through that and you're developing yourself and you're knowing that, understand that God has a purpose for that. That you're to treat your children in a certain way to develop them for the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Talk about a baby church. The Corinthian church was a baby church that Paul had to deal with things with. Okay. I shouldn't have to tell you it's wrong to commit fornication with your mother-in-law. I mean, with your stepmother. It's wrong to do that. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. This is stuff that's happening in the Corinthian church, right? This isn't... You're not supposed to go to church with your brethren on Sunday and take them to court on Monday. That's not what you're supposed to do. I mean, you're not supposed to go to the temple where they're giving meat to idols and then end up in fornication with the people in the debauchery that was Corinth. All right, so this is a messed up young church that Paul had to say, turn the light off when you come up the stairs. Right, moms? Okay, it's the 10th time I told you today. Go back and pick your shoes up off the outside on the lawn. Go get your shoes. Bring them in. Don't throw them in the middle of the hallway so we can trip and bust our heads open on the wall. Put your shoes where they're supposed to go. Do you know, you mothers know what I'm talking about here? Some of us fathers know too, right? Oh, when are they going to learn? Right? When are they finally going to catch it? Then your kid does something beautiful and you just sit back and say, wow, that was worth telling them 100 times to turn the light off. You know, they'll say some of the kindest and do some of the kindest things, and then they'll be so mean. And you're like, where did that come from? Teaching, loving, developing, not losing your temper on, but speaking in a firm way that's loving. That's what moms provide to the home. Verse 1, now I, Paul, myself, 2 Corinthians 10, 1, now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who am present and based among you, but being absent and bold towards you. So how did he act when he was around them? He acted lower than his potential. You can tell by the epistles, Paul was a really smart guy, okay? Paul was a theologian. But when he's talking to weaker Christians, he's presenting God in a way that they can understand. Fathers have trouble with that sometimes, mothers. We need your help. I would like to give a 5-point discourse on, you know, the book of Jude to my children. And my wife will say, James, can we make it 5 minutes? You know, like, can we break it down a little bit easier for the kids to understand? And I'll fight with myself, how can I get the kids to understand this point? And my wife will explain it in such a perfect way. That's a blessing, moms. God has gifted you with that. Thank God for that. And as a church, I want to thank God that we have women in the church that have given their lives to explaining spiritual principles in a way that a 4-year-old can understand. Let me just say this. If I was in charge of the Sunday school classes, all the kids would want to stay up here with you guys. Okay? Be thankful that the Sunday school classes are ran by ladies in the teaching process. And the Patch Club, my goodness, they would not be so excited about Patch Club if I was directing it. They love it. Why? Because we have ladies that know how to communicate truth to young people. So here Paul is, communicating truth, being lower among them, but when he's gone, expecting greatness from them. You know, moms, with your adult children, it's okay to say sometimes, I expect more from you, son. I expect more from you, daughter. We trained you better than this. You can do better than this. The harshest, the best cheerleader in a man's corner is his wife. But second to his wife sometimes is his mom, and the worst critic to a grown adult sometimes can be a mother. So, mothers, remember, don't always be critics. Sometimes just be caring, loving mothers that encourage your children. And pray very hard before you become harsh critics to your adult children. Because guess what? Your adult children don't have to come home. They can say, you know what? I think I'll pass this phone call today. I don't think I'll make it. So be careful. Provide a loving environment for your children within the home. This is what I'm trying to preach today and encourage today. So mother, what does a mother do? She's a nursing mother. When we think about nursing, what does she do? She provides nourishment in nursing. She provides weakness for her children's strength. And then finally, she provides meekness. All right? She provides meekness. That's peace in the midst of life's storm. That's ability to show control in the most harshest environments. 2 Timothy 2:24 through 26 tells a pastor this, but I think it's so well applied to a mother also in her development of her children. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach patience. Let me say very quickly as a side note, don't argue with your children. All right? Just have them do when they're a certain age. As they grow older, there's more opportunities to explain the moral reason why. But as a two-year-old, if they don't want to get dressed, you just get them dressed. Okay, mom's like, don't explain. Now, honey, I love it. Honey, you're throwing a fit in a grocery store. Let's talk to you like you're 35 years old and you actually understand our pleading for you not to throw a fit in a grocery store. No, you just take them out and you say, honey, can you do the grocery shopping for me today? You don't try to reason with a two-year-old. You just make them do what's right. All right? So, don't strive. How many of adults ever feel like when you're dealing with something over and over with a child and they're getting frustrated with you and you're getting frustrated with them, you start to act like them? Like you start to lose the control you are supposed to have as an adult? Don't deal with situations in that moment. Say, you know what? Until there's more control in this situation, you stay in your room. Go downstairs in the basement, go into that room, close the door, cry, and when I'm in control and when you're in control, we'll deal with this situation. All right? Don't have a fighting spirit within your home. And it's easy to have when your children are disrespecting you, right? Does that mean let them disrespect you? No. That means don't disrespect them when they're disrespecting you. Do you notice the difference? Let them gain control and then deal with the situation. Don't belittle them in your discipline of them. It's very important. Because when you belittle in the discipline of them, you're striving with them. And that's creating a very harsh environment within your home. I'm talking about little ones. Okay? Adult children are a little bit different. Verse 24, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. We have to be patient. Patient with our children. In meekness. What does meekness mean? Forbearance. In the middle of the harshest circumstances, in the middle of the biggest disappointments you have with your children, you are to have the attitude of meekness when dealing with them. Instructing those that oppose themselves. There's no better example of opposing themselves than little children, right? I mean, they want to run out in the middle of the road. And they don't understand why you're stopping them. Mommy, why won't you let me run out in the middle of the road? Well, because you're opposing yourself. You're going to do something that will harm you if we allow you to do this. In meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God preadventure will give them repentance to the acknowledgement of truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captivity by him at his will. I'm thinking to explain that, the Proverbs that says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from it. So consistency of a mom to point a child to what is right is what will drive foolishness out of a child's heart. Consistency for a father to come alongside the mother, providing a plan, providing a spiritual guidance in her struggle with her children, and saying, this is the standard, this is what we're going to demand. You can have a frown or you can have a smile, it doesn't matter to me, but this is what our house is going to do. Because it's what is pleasing to God. And providing that for the child with no compromise is what we are to strive for as parents. And it takes two people. It takes a father and a mother to accomplish that in the right way. Oh, I love this verse. I was looking this up. Acts 13 and verse 8, talking about the children of Israel. And how God dealt with the children of Israel. And when I read this, it just made me think of, in so many different ways, the patience that has been given through motherhood to children in times that children really don't deserve it. Verse 18 of Acts 13, talking about God and the people of Israel, says, "And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot." Parents, how many times as your children were growing up, you suffered through their manners? The hardest thing, and I used to do this as a kid all the time, the hardest thing for me as a father to handle is when my children argue over nothing. Like, I want the red cup. You have a cup. It has water in it. It has the same stuff in it that your sister has. No. Then you give them the red cup. No, I want the blue cup. No. Oh. Are you serious? Really? I want the red popsicle. I want the orange popsicle. I want the pink popsicle. I'll give you the no popsicle if you keep it up. All that, he's like, oh, please, when are they going to get this? Or, that's probably not a, all of you moms and dads can think of things, like turn the lights off. Nobody's down there. Why are all the lights on? Turn the lights off. Flush the toilet. Do those type of things, you know? Do those things, children. Pick up your clothes off the floor. Nobody wants to see your clothes in the middle of the kitchen. We're trying to cook here. So, all those manners. How did God deal with the children of Israel? Well, he took care of them. He fed them. He supplied for them. Moms, thank you so much for supplying for your children in the middle of all their manners. Developing them in the middle of all of the hardships of motherhood. Let's look at verse number 8 for the second point. We see a mother's yearning in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. A mother's yearning for their children. By the way, a mother yearns for her children in every development phase of her child. We're taking a walk and my wife was up a couple times with our youngest, and she asked me, "Do you ever want to have another child?" I'm like, "You just spent the whole night up with this kid, and you're asking me, do I want to spend the next night being woken up by this crying baby? No, I don't want another child." Look at that. And we're like, But mothers love, in spite of the harshness of raising children, the getting up in the middle of the night, the knocking on the door and, "Snuggle me, snuggle me." Oh, just go to bed, kid. It was cute the first time. It's like the 100th time. No, so as you're working through that, you say, Pastor James, you have a problem. Well, you'd have a problem if you were in a deep sleep in the middle of the night and you hear this banging on your door too. But as we look at this and we think about this, a mother patiently gets up, takes care of her children. And I try to get up and take care of my children. I don't want you. I want Mom. Thank you. Good night. Mom, she doesn't want me. I did my duty. She said, get out of here. I'm totally willing to listen to a two-year-old when it fits my agenda. But Mom's able to put him to sleep right away. Just amazing the yearning a mother has for her children. The yearning to be with her children. Verse number 8 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 says, so being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. Now I'm going to make this point, and I'll make it again. You can put your kids as little children into daycare, and they can give some of care to your child, but they cannot give them affectionate desire as you can as a parent to your child. You're the only one mother that can provide that to your children. An affectionate desire given to your children in a unique way. As I say that, I just realized this passage is to pastors, so obviously pastors also can provide some of that, but not like a mother. Here's this affectionate desire to be with the kids that a mother has. It's a loving yearning after. It's a yearning that's so strong that it can cause pain if not given. It's a desire to see their children. A mother's longs for children in their pain. Mothers give this unique love and comfort and desire to be with their children through the pain, to offer everything they can to an individual child as they're going through pain. And you can look up Jeremiah chapter 13, 15 through 17 that shows the pain and the weeping that Jeremiah went through for Jerusalem because they were receiving pain because of their rebellion. Here is this loving mother going through the pain of a rebellious child. Here is a loving mother going through the pain of their children with them. Nobody else is going to provide that to your children besides you, Mom. You're the only one that can provide it to this level to your children. A mother longs to give blessings to her children. Romans chapter 1. Romans 1 verse 11 shows Paul, and I believe it can be applied to mothers. In Romans chapter 1 verse 11, for I long to see you that I might impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. What is this saying? This is saying that Paul longed to be with the people that he's writing to in Romans so that he can give them comfort and spiritually help them grow. He can give them blessings spiritually. Now, I don't think through gifts to my children like my wife does. They can ask me and they can get, if they ask me at the right time, the sad truth is my mind is somewhere else and they ask me and I just say yes sometimes. Heaven forbid, like I'm not saying this is a good thing, but this is the truth. My mind is somewhere else. They ask me something. Oh yeah, sure, I don't care. Before I think through it. Where a mother's mind is always like, I got to think through this. I got to do what's best for this child. I know exactly what my children love, and I know what will mean the most to them. And a mother thinks through those, and she has, okay, I need to do this with my oldest. I need to do this with my second. I need to do this with my third. I need to do this with the fourth. And they all look completely different. But a mother is able to know exactly what each child needs in their development. Isn't that a blessing, men? Are you glad for that, men? Because now you can just ask them, what do I need to do for this one that's best for them? And you talk through it at night and you plan what is best for your children. I'm not saying individually that it might look a little different in some people's home. I'm just saying as a whole. That's what it looks like. A mother knows how to give what is needed to her children. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for that. Today is about lifting up mothers. Today is about calling you to not be wearying and well-doing, but to give yourself to the position that God has allowed you to be a mother and to do what you can to bring Him praise and glory. A mother longs for the best in their children. She longs for the best in their children. All of us should be thanking our mothers for the times that they have shown their femininity in suffering for us to make what is best come out of us. I struggled with reading. Do you know why I can read today? Because I had a mom that worked a full-time job, and after she was done with that full-time job, she would spend hours going through reading with me. And I fought her every second. Why? Because I hated to read. And you say, that's quite obvious. Would have been even more obvious if my mom wouldn't have done that for me. Worked and worked Olson readers. I had to learn a new way to read because I had dyslexia. Oh, I hated the Olson readers. Oh, still. Okay, let's get off of that. Over and over, repeating. She tried it with spelling, but that just... We have dictionaries. You kind of have to know how to spell a word to use a dictionary, too. But as we work through that, as we struggle through that, I just remember the countless hours my mom put into my life. And the Sunday school, and my teachers at school would say, oh, there's no hope for him. And she'd come and meet with them and say, what do I have to do to help my son get through this? And people would go up to my mom and say, he's going to be a convict one day. He's bad. And she's like, nope, this is going to be my preacher in the family. And she never gave up. She worked hard to the best of her ability so that I could succeed in the midst of harsh criticism and huge reasons that I gave her to doubt. She worked hard. Thanks, moms, for all your hard work so that we can succeed. Finally, I want us to call us to remember the work of a mother. Let's turn back to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Let's read verse 9. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail. Remember, this is in the metaphor of a mother and her giving herself to her children. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. Remember, there won't be we'll just close the service in prayer today. We won't have a closing hymn. Remember a mother's daily wearisome labor, children. Remember that. And uplift her for that. Thank you for washing my clothes. Thank you for folding my clothes. Thank you for teaching me how to put my clothes away. Thank you for teaching me how to cook. Oh my goodness. Teaching little ones how to cook. Oh, that's not my calling. But teaching them and working with them. And no, you can't add all the ingredients all at once. You have to do it in sections. Let's do it in sections. Almost named the kid. Let's do it in sections here. No, vinegar is not vanilla, okay? Let's do this in sections here. Let's, you know, the patience that's required in teaching your children daily life skills. You labor in that. Thank you for that. Remember, a mother's work is ceaseless work. A mother's care and development and thinking about her family and what's best for her family, it never stops, does it, Mom? It stops for me, but it doesn't stop for Mom. I can think about my wife likes it when I study at church because when I'm at home, a bomb could be going off. And if I'm studying, I can just cut everything out. Moms can't do that. It's a ceaseless work. It's always on your heart. You're always thinking of betterment of your kids. And remember, finally, it's not cheap, but it is free labor. The hardest job in the world is being a godly mother, and you don't even get paid for it in cash. But you do get paid for it when your children praise you at the gates and say, what a great mom you are. Look, I don't know what God's calling for you are as mothers. I'm not against mothers having a career, but I am against mothers putting their career over their children. That's wrong. Remember, the most precious commodity you have is the thing that's going to be for an eternity. And your children are eternal beings. Are you giving what you can to develop your children as God has called you? Children, thank your mothers today. A good thank you would be very kind. And wash the dishes without her making you do it. That would be kind too. That's not happening, Pastor James. Well, just try. Just try. Okay? Try to be kind to your mothers today. Try to remember to thank your mothers today if they're still alive. Try to be really thankful for God giving us mothers. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for all that you've done. We thank you for the love and kindness that you have given to us. God, we just pray that you would help us to take this subject seriously. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you're dismissed for coffee and muffins.